Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Zag Inc. First Quarter Earnings Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will follow at that time. If anyone should require operator assistance during the program, please press star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. As a reminder, today's conference is being recorded. I would now like to introduce your host for today's conference call, Ms. Kim Rogers-Karate with Genesis Select, the IR firm for Zag Inc. You may begin, ma'am.
Thank you, Kevin. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us today for the Zag Inc. First Quarter 2012 conference call. On the call today from the company are Robert G. Peterson II, Chairman, Co-Founder, and Chief Executive Officer, along with Zag's Chief Financial Officer, Brandon O'Brien. By now, everyone should have access to the First Quarter 2012 earnings release. If you have not received a copy of the release, it can be found on the Investor Relations portion of the Zag website, under the Investor Relations tab. This call is being webcast, and a replay will be available on the company's website through midnight, June 28, 2012. Before we begin, I would like to remind everyone that the prepared remarks contain certain forward-looking statements, and management may make additional forward-looking statements in response to your questions. These statements include, but are not limited to, our outlook for the company and statements that estimate or project future results of operations or the performance of the company. These statements do not guarantee future performance and speak only as of the date hereof. We refer all of you to the risk factors contained in Zag's annual report on Form 10-K and quarterly reports on Form 10-Q filed with the Securities and Exchange Commission for a more detailed discussion on the factors that can cause actual results to differ materially from those projected in any forward-looking statements. Zag assumes no obligation to revise any forward-looking statements that may be made in today's release or call. Please note that on today's call, in addition to discussing the GAAP financial results and the outlook for the company, the following non-GAAP financial measures will be discussed: EBITDA and adjusted EBITDA. An explanation of Zag's use of these non-GAAP financial measures in this call and the reconciliation between GAAP and non-GAAP measures required by SEC Regulation G is included in Zag's press release today, which again can be found on the Investor Relations section of the company's website. The non-GAAP information is not a substitute for any performance measure derived in accordance with GAAP, and the use of such non-GAAP measures has limitations, which are detailed in the company's press release. And with that, I would now like to turn the call over to Robert Peterson, Zag's co-founder, chairman, and CEO. Robert?
Thank you, Kim. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for participating in our call today to discuss a record revenue quarter 2012 results. We are very pleased to announce another record quarter that on all metrics exceeded consensus estimates. The results we're reporting today are our second highest quarterly results ever, second only to the all-time record revenue we reported most recently in our December quarter, which is typically our strongest quarter. Revenue for the quarter was $55.5 million, representing year-over-year growth of 106%. The year-over-year increase was fueled by strong growth in the Invisible Shield and Keyboard Folio sales. Net income in the quarter was $5.1 million, up 57% year-over-year. We generated over $14 million in cash flow from operations and paid down $27 million in debt in the quarter. Brandon will be discussing in greater detail the financial results following my remarks. The launch of the new iPad in March, combined with no significant change in the iPad form factor, fueled an avalanche of initial orders in the expanded Invisible Shield line from our retail partners. And with the strong product sell-through of the new iPad, we are seeing this demand carrying over into the second quarter. The iPad launch also created fantastic demand for our tablet accessories as well, resulting in high levels of sales for Zag Keyboard and Zag Folio products. During the quarter, we were production constrained on the Zag Folio as we saw overall demand for the Folio exceed our expectations. We have been ramping up manufacturing capacity, and we are now running at a manufacturing run rate that is allowing us to meet the pent-up demand. These have been very successful new products for Zag, and we remain the leader in this emerging sector. Off the launch of the new iPad, we were able to broaden the distribution for the Folio and the Flex, and now you can find them in several of our top retailers, with others to follow shortly. Our first quarter results reflect the successful implementation of our business strategy as we have laid it out to you on previous calls to develop creative product solutions, be the preferred brand, and build targeted global distribution. In this quarter, we executed nicely on that business strategy. In the quarter, we introduced two new exciting products, the Zag Invisible Shield HD and the iFrogs Boost speaker. The HD further distances us from other screen protectors and films with amazing clarity and a glass-like feel. We worked through our film manufacturer to develop this product in an effort to expand our leadership position. The HD is a highly differentiated product and sells at a premium to our Invisible Shield line. This product further establishes Zag as the premium brand, and we see that consumers are willing to pay a premium price for a superior and differentiated product. Best Buy, who currently has exclusivity on this product, is seeing the majority of its customers opt for this premium HD over the original Invisible Shield film. Consumers continue to see an increasing need for the Invisible Shield to protect expensive and vulnerable devices. The iFrogs Boost is a portable speaker which fits in the palm of your hand and allows music sharing, utilizing patent-pending near-field audio technology. The Boost is available online, and we are currently working on placing it in retail. We further expanded our Zag distribution of iFrogs branded products in the quarter, targeting the Zag retail relationships and the wireless retail channel. In the quarter, we introduced iFrogs into Target, our first major pure cross-sell of iFrogs branded products into a Zag retail customer. This quarter, iFrogs brands also saw expanded distribution in the college bookstore channel, which is a great fit for the youth demographic of the products and is now found in hundreds of campus bookstores and computer stores nationwide, with more and more coming on board every quarter. In the quarter, we continue to execute on putting more of our products into a retail channel and announced that AT&T is selling the Zag Spark and the Zag Keys Flex into their 2,500 stores nationwide. We also introduced the Zag Folio in three colors and designs, two of which are exclusive to AT&T, in stores across the country. Our presence and growth in AT&T is a positive indication that Zag is viewed as a preferred brand with consumers, and our relationship there has grown very nicely, as can be seen through our successful addition of new product categories. We also saw growth in the quarter with increased product categories across the rest of our wireless retail partners. We expanded our presence in the quarter with T-Mobile stores, which added four new SKUs. And through our other wireless distributors, we're adding eight new SKUs in the channel during the quarter, including two new product categories in power with the Spark and keyboards with the Flex. Cricket continued to expand and currently has two product categories. Verizon now carries two product categories, including the Folio. Internet sales in the quarter were 10% of revenues. We are in the process of translating our websites into numerous languages, starting with Spanish, to better support our international efforts, and we will be relaunching the iFrogs.com website in the very near future, where we are looking to replicate the success we had with the Zag.com site. We continue to build on our accomplishments with Best Buy, Target, and Radio Shack, with increased product categories and much more diversified product presence. We now have representation from various product categories in Best Buy, including screen protection, cases, audio, keyboards, and power. And we have seen a similar expansion in product categories with Target. Radio Shack has expanded the product offering, ranging from protection to power and keyboards. Radio Shack stated in their last earnings conference call that Apple devices help drive traffic to their stores and carry a better-than-average attach rate to higher-margin accessories. An important strategy for all of our retail partners is mobile devices-focused sales areas selling Apple and Android products and providing customers with functional and creative accessories for their smartphone and tablets. Zag is the key player in this strategy with these retailers. Along that line, we are launching product in our newest retailer in 2 weeks. We will be launching the first Zag product under the Invisible Shield brand into Walmart on May 15th. Walmart is another big box retailer that is looking to build a strategy around the mobile device market, and iFrog's earbuds have already been a large part of their offering. As we have done with previous new retail launches in the past, we are starting off with one Invisible Shield SKU at Walmart and anticipate we will see similar product growth and development in this emerging partnership over time, just like we have experienced with our more established retail relationships. With our expanding retail presence, we are establishing a worldwide family of Zag brands that stand for more than high-quality and unique functional products. We support our brand with world-class customer service, proactive distribution, and directed relationships to build long-term trust with both distributors and customers. It takes time to establish a great brand, and we have been taking the right steps to build our brand and garner support for our brand with product warranties and customer support. As a result of having proven ourselves as a premium brand with creative product solutions, we are engaging with our retailers on an ongoing basis to help them achieve specific initiatives around their mobile device strategies. These collaborative efforts result in desirable store placement, giving us superior coverage for best-selling devices, strong brand awareness, and long-term growth opportunities. This is an important competitive advantage to Zag. This level of brand support and strategic teamwork is helping to increase Zag's market share. Going forward, our retail strategy will be focused on helping our retailers sell more of what they carry in Zag and iFrog's brands. We are already doing this by providing support and training at the store level directly to management and salespeople. As part of our long-term growth strategy, we will expand our store-level support in a targeted approach, working with the retailers to improve accessories attach rates. We are also bringing the retailers into the product design cycle and getting their input. Another important element in our retail success has been our use of fulfillment partners. Our U.S. fulfillment partner, IntegraCore, has just received ISO 9001 certification, the ultimate global benchmark for quality management. We still see tremendous opportunity from the underlying device adoption curve. Just to give you an idea of the scope of the market opportunity for us, in tablets alone, Apple has shipped about 67 million iPads to date, and according to the Forrester and Gartner estimates, there should be around 350 million tablets in the market by 2015. Which means in the next 3 years, over 280 million tablets will be purchased. Let me repeat that. In 3 years, it's expected that over 280 million tablets will be purchased. So the accessories opportunity is quite significant. This is a huge market growing very rapidly, and we are excited to say that we are broadening our leadership position with consumers and retailers by staying focused on our business strategy. Premium brand, targeted global distribution, and creative product solutions. As we look at our competitive advantages in the accessories market, we see Zag building broad, strong, and productive relationships with retailers, maintaining leadership on the product front, and internally working to improve our operations. Looking at what we have accomplished in the quarter with company-wide operational alignments and the ongoing implementation of our objectives, I think we have made tremendous progress in a short period of time. Our team commitment to operational objectives and our focus on unity across the entire organization is benefiting us on every level of the company. These objectives are with us for the long run, and they will continue to guide our efforts to build Zag into a billion-dollar business. This quarter, we implemented an incentive compensation plan for all employees. We have seen a dramatic benefit from this new plan and have much more clarity and unity around the department goals that support the corporate objectives. Specific examples are the improvement in accurate, complete, and on-time shipping, where we have improved from the low 80s to nearly 100% on-time shipping. We have nearly eliminated chargebacks, all through collaborative goal setting and reporting. In the quarter, we enhanced department budgets and reporting and increased our visibility with improved financial dashboards and reporting systems. We also virtualized all of our databases and servers. This quarter, we further integrated the iFrog's operations, product management, marketing, sales, and finance teams with those functions at Zag. One example where we have seen an immediate benefit is with the iFrog sales of branded products into Zag retail channels. And the results speak for themselves. Being a goal-driven company means reporting performance of those goals frequently and providing a monetary incentive to all employees for achieving their team goals. This has produced a higher level of unity in and commitment to the company, and as a result, we are seeing improved performance across the board. Looking forward to Q2, our operational goals are to further define the product management and product development roles in the organization to support our product-centric focus. We will continue to increase our new product effort by placing emphasis on filling the product pipeline we have established with creative product solutions. We also plan on introducing product-specific reporting that will allow us to more accurately measure costs, margins, and success at the product level. In the second quarter, we plan to continue to implement a China sourcing strategy to reduce product and inventory costs and introduce product-specific reporting, which will allow us to better measure costs, margins, and product successes. As for the rest of 2012, an important strategic effort is building our international presence. We are very pleased with the progress our Ireland team is making in foreign markets, where we have finalized our structure and strategy. We are now moving forward more aggressively than ever, and we'll be announcing a new distribution contract in a major market in the South Pacific in the very near future. In South America, we have engaged an account manager that works through Ireland for all Zag and iFrog's branded products, and they are beginning to roll out in major South American markets. As this region grows, we will work with our partner in Ireland to identify a third-party fulfillment and distribution center, most likely in Brazil and various areas around the world. In Asia, our strategy for the remainder of 2012 will be to partner with our retailers that are expanding in or into this region who are looking to Zag to be an accessory partner in these high-growth markets. The U.S. will continue to be the dominant region for growth for Zag in 2012. We feel the U.S. still represents a growth opportunity for several reasons. First, the potential for increased smartphone market share at Verizon and AT&T, according to Apple's recent forecast. Second, the upgrade opportunity on the iPhone 5, which is expected later this year. Other retailers that increase their SKU counts. Lastly, overall smartphone growth, especially from other Android device manufacturers, like the leading Samsung products that are doing so well. It's estimated that about 45% of phones sold in the U.S. in the March quarter are still feature phones or smartphones, so we continue to see a lot of runway for smartphone accessories. One last item to mention to you, adding more diversity and depth to our board of directors. Since we retained H&S in early February, we have had many high-quality candidates show interest in Zag, and we continue to narrow our search to find seasoned professionals with broad experience and rich backgrounds who can assist Zag in growing to a billion-dollar business. We are looking for directors that understand the vision and innovative culture of our organization, but who can also bring a fresh perspective and expertise in building our global brands. With that, I'd like to turn the call over to Brandon O'Brien, our CFO, for a detailed review of the financials. Brandon.
Thank you, Robert, and thank you again for joining us on the call today. As stated in today's release, we will be disclosing consolidated financial results reflecting our main business unit, Zag Inc., and the results of our subsidiaries, iFrog Inc., Zag Europe Limited, and Zag International. In the call today, I will speak only to consolidated results unless otherwise stated. The financial statements provided in today's release reflect Q1 2012 financial details for our subsidiaries as well as consolidated results, so you may refer to them for further clarifications. The quarter I am referring to for the purposes of today's call is Q1 2012. Revenue for the quarter was $55.5 million versus $27 million in the quarter from the prior year, representing year-over-year growth of 106%. The current quarter revenue includes $15.6 million from our iFrog segment. We acquired iFrog in June 2011, so there is no revenue contribution included in the prior year period. The breakdown for the sources of revenues is as follows. For the quarter, 83% of sales came from our retail channel versus 70% in the same period last year. 10% of sales were from Zag.com and iFrogs.com versus 22% in the same quarter last year, and 6% was from the kiosk and standalone stores versus 6% in the same quarter last year. The balance of 1% came from shipping and handling versus 2% for Q1 2011. International sales accounted for 11% of total revenues in the quarter as compared with 5% in the prior year period. International sales grew on a dollar basis and outpaced domestic sales growth, primarily driven by strong sales from our Irish entity throughout Europe. Sales to Best Buy accounted for 28% of revenues as compared to 27% in Q1 2011. Sales to Walmart of our iFrogs branded products accounted for 12% of revenues in the quarter. Walmart was not a customer in Q1 2011. We continue to see diversification in our product revenues, with 47% of revenues coming from the Invisible Shield product line versus 77% in the first quarter of last year. The decline is due to the iFrogs acquisition, which diversified our product offering, as well as continued sales growth with our keyboards and keyboard cases in the quarter, which sell at higher price points than the Invisible Shield products. Gross profit for the quarter was $26.9 million versus $13.6 million in the first quarter of 2011, which translates into gross margins for the quarter of 48.5% versus 50.6% for the prior year period. This is an improvement from reported gross profit in Q4 of 2011 of 46% and slightly above the adjusted gross margin of 48%, excluding the inventory adjustment for iFrog's inventory in the fourth quarter. In the fourth quarter last year, we sold through the remaining inventory acquired from iFrog's that had to be marked up. Operating income in the quarter was $10.2 million versus $4.9 million in the same period last year. Operating margins for the quarter were 18%, flat with the first quarter last year. Operating margins in Q4 2011 were 21.3%. Operating margins in the current quarter were impacted by amortization of the intangibles acquired in the iFrogs acquisition of $2.4 million, increased compensation expense of $2.9 million due to the headcount increase of the iFrogs acquisition, the hiring of key employees to support our revenue growth, and the implementation of our new variable compensation plan for our employees. We also incurred $1.3 million in stock compensation expense during the quarter, compared to $300,000 in the first quarter of 2011. The effective tax rate for the quarter was 36.9% versus 32.9% for the same period last year. We are making progress on our tax saving strategies with our subsidiary in Ireland and anticipate further tax savings in future periods as we implement our tax strategies. Net income attributable to stockholders in the quarter came in at $5.1 million versus $3.3 million in the same quarter in the prior year. Our fully diluted share count for the quarter was 31.4 million shares, a 20% increase in the diluted share number as compared to the first quarter of 2011. Total shares issued and outstanding at March 31, 2012 were 30,236,220. At March 31, 2012, we had 1.1 million outstanding options, 0.9 million outstanding warrants, and 0.6 million outstanding restricted stock grants. We use the treasury method in calculating our diluted shares outstanding, which assumes that proceeds received from the exercise of warrants and options are used to purchase shares in the open market before new shares are issued. On a prospective basis, our diluted shares outstanding will be closer to 32 million shares. Our fully diluted earnings per share were 16 cents for the quarter versus 13 cents in the same period last year. Adjusted EBITDA for the quarter came in at $14.4 million, or 46 cents per diluted share. That compares to adjusted EBITDA of $5.4 million, or 21 cents per diluted share for the first quarter 2011. This represents an increase of 166% in adjusted EBITDA as compared to the first quarter of 2011. Turning to the balance sheet, working capital at the end of the quarter was $61.3 million compared to working capital of $74.5 million at December 31st, 2011. We reported a cash balance of $16.9 million. For the quarter ended March 31st, 2012, we generated positive cash flow from operations of over $14 million. In March, we made payments on the term and revolving debt totaling $27 million, paying down $23 million on the revolving line of credit and $4 million on our term loan. That leaves a balance on the line of credit of $1.6 million and term loan balance of $41 million as of the end of the first quarter. With the current stated rate of 7.25% on our debt, we felt the best use of our excess cash was to pay down on the debt at this time. Accounts receivable for the quarter were $36.4 million, down from $45.5 million on December 31st, 2011. DSOs in the quarter were 59.0 compared to 61.2 for the previous quarter. We have hired additional personnel to tightly manage our accounts receivable balances and are very comfortable with the quality of our accounts receivable. Inventories for the quarter were $25.7 million, a decrease of $3.9 million from the December 31, 2011 balance. We continue to evaluate inventory on a monthly basis and reserve against slow-moving inventory as needed. We feel our current inventories are in great shape worldwide. As noted in the press release that went out this afternoon, we are maintaining our guidance for 2012 with revenue to exceed $250 million based on our current distribution partners, product mix, and pricing outlook. We forecast gross margins in the mid to high 40s with adjusted EBITDA in a range of $55 to $60 million. This forecast is based on the anticipated continued presence of Zag and iFrog's branded products in the existing channel, an increase in the percentage of sales from higher ASP products, and a broadening of our international presence. With that, I'd like to turn the call back over to Robert.
Thank you, Brandon. Operator, at this time, I'd like to turn the call over to Q&A.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question or a comment at this time, please press the star then the one key on your touchtone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to move yourself from the queue, please press the pound key. Our first question comes from Matt Spratford with Sidoti & Company.
Hey guys, I was just wondering if you could give us a little more color on the Walmart rollout with the Invisible Shield.
You bet, Matt. This is a great announcement and something that we're going to be rolling out here very shortly. As I said, it'll be in stores May 15th. And, they're another retailer. Obviously, it doesn't take away from our other great retail partners and relationships. As we've seen in the past, any one of the retail relationships that we've had, even as we've added new retail relationships, the existing ones have continued to grow. And so we don't see it cannibalizing. We only see it adding to and reaching a demographic potentially that we haven't been in before. So we're pretty excited about it.
Gotcha. Will that be nationwide or is it select location?
Yep, it'll be nationwide. It's nationwide, but initially we're going into 900 stores is the initial rollout, and then it'll go from there.
All right, great. And then just more overall sort of macro kind of device picture. I was wondering if you could comment on the demand for tablets versus smartphones at launch. I mean, we've all seen the lines around the block for iPhones on launch days, but do you see sort of a more gradual adoption trend for tablets?
You know, I really don't want to speak to the industry itself, but there has been an enormous strong demand that we've seen as far as the accessories for the tablets on our side. And we, you know, of course, you can get the numbers better than I can as an analyst in terms of the industry itself, but the adoption of accessories to tablets has been just as strong with the tablets as for accessories as it has been for smartphones. And in particular, and the nice thing for us is we have a little bit better margin. We also have higher ASPs on the tablet accessories than we do on the smartphone accessories.
Gotcha. It's more just in terms of just the overall the timing of demand in terms of the launches. Do you see sort of the same veracity of demand with the tablet launches as you do with the iPhones for your products?
Yeah, I mean, like the first quarter, for example, when it, the iPad the new third generation iPad or the new iPad as it was launched at the end of March, there was a lot of anticipation and questions as to how this would roll out. The fact that it was a very similar form-fitting model actually was advantageous to us because we already had channels, a lot of product filled for that. But a lot of the retailers, I think, had backed off, not knowing exactly what was going to happen and not knowing how it would affect them. So they backed off, and they're selling earlier in the quarter, and then we kind of had a flood of orders coming in toward the end of the quarter, and that continued into the second quarter and continues now.
Gotcha. And then just one more, and I'll turn it over. I was just curious if maybe you could give us an idea of the attachment rates for the keyboard products versus the shields on tablets.
You know, Matt, we don't break that down, so we don't give that kind of clarity.
All righty, fair enough. Thanks, guys. Congrats.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
Our next question comes from Mike Maloof with Craig-Hallum.
Great, thanks, guys, and nice quarter.
Hey, thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
My first question is, and I'm looking at the inventory, and, obviously really tight controls over the inventory, and I'm just wondering if you could give us a little bit more color with regards to, finished goods, raw materials, things like that that you have done so in the past, and maybe just get a sense, is this too low for you? Is this a good level for you going forward? And how do you think this trends throughout the year? Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, we like the levels of overall inventories that we have currently. We've got a lot of inventory in stock. With the addition of iFrogs, a lot of that inventory is coming in as finished good product. And so currently we've got, of the, roughly 26 million, 18 million to be finished goods, a lot of that being the iFrogs products. Also our keyboard products are all finished goods. And so it's skewing more. Historically it's been more to raw material, but the raw material we're carrying is just the polyurethane film that we use to cut the invisible shields, and we've got those inventory levels where we need to be. Ideally, we would like to get to a point, Mike, where we're not air freighting all of our products from China, so we could have some growth in the finished goods as we get that channel better filled and have product coming across on the ocean.
Okay, great. And then with regards to gross margins, very good gross margins this quarter, was that a function of mix in the quarter, or was there any kind of one-time issues that helped you out relative to where we are going forward? Thanks.
Yeah, it really was a factor of mix. So if we have more of our higher margin products selling through, that affects that. And so it was more of a mix issue. Now, that being said, we're looking through our entire manufacturing chain and trying to determine where some potential savings could be had. And we think there is still some potential savings to be had with our Chinese partners that could flow through the end of the year. So we do feel like there's some potential upside from cost savings to be had there. The rest is really going to be a function of the mix of the products that we sell into the channel.
Okay, great. And just one final question. I think the only thing that I saw out of all the reports that gave me a flag was the website sales. It looks like the web was down year over year. And I'm just wondering, what went on this quarter relative to last year, and is there some way to reinvigorate that growth? Thanks.
Yeah, you have to take a couple of things into consideration. The website sales actually are very strong and continue to grow. First of all, our first quarter is normally is the slowest quarter of the year, and it builds up as the quarters go on, and then the fourth quarter is the strongest. When you compare year over year, Q1 last year, we actually had a couple of anomalies. We had a presence on the Oprah show where the Zagmint was introduced, and our website just absolutely went crazy there. And then we also had the Zagmint that we had before we did the deal with Logitech, and we had the full margin. We were selling it on our website. And so those were the two anomalies last year that kind of, it was it exploded in the Q1, which was unusual. And then this quarter, you have to take into consideration that we had a constraint with our Zag folios because our demand was so great with our retail partners. We actually suffered by not having enough product to ship out on our website, and a lot of that has now been caught up into the second quarter that will spill over into the second quarter.
I see. That's very helpful. Thanks a lot for the color.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Our next question comes from John Hickman with Ladenburg.
Hello. Good quarter, guys.
Hey, John.
Could you talk to me a little bit more about, you know, in your guidance for the year for your adjusted EBITDA, you talked about margins already a little bit, but are we to assume or can we assume that this rather good gross margin continues throughout the rest of the year?
Yeah, we see that as continuing, John. I mean, we're excited about the product mix that we're currently selling into our retail partners, and with the potential savings that we can realize, I think that is going to, you know, lend us to some favorable upside potential in our margins. Again, couple that with the fact that we feel comfortable with the quality of our inventories. You know, we're looking at those much closer now than we ever have in the past. We've just got, you know, more bandwidth. We've got the ability to manage that a little better. So we feel like those, you know, those levels are in good order. So, you know, I think it's you know, reasonable to assume that we'll be able to have some strong margins throughout the year.
So, and then addressing this out-of-stock issue, what did you have to do to solve that? Did the factory in China just step up production, what, more shifts? And that took a few weeks. What help us out there a little bit?
Yeah, it's fairly standard. The same would go with Apple or any companies that have excess demand. And you just you have to beef it up on all sides through your distribution channels and your fulfillment. You know, houses anxiously waiting for product. We got product expedited. We got increased lines. We had our production beefed up in the manufacturers. We had guys on the ground in China, you know, making that happen. And that's what you have to do. So we just had to kind of act quickly. And, you know, the thing is over time, because we've grown so quickly as a company, I mean, from zero to, you know, projected $250 million in sales this year in 7 years, we've gotten pretty good at being able to, you know, continue to make adjustments, and we expect growth, and we continue to adjust for that. But in this case, it's harder when a lot of your products are coming from overseas as opposed to the Invisible Shield line, which is made in the United States, which now is less than 50% of our product mix. And so we have a lot of our Asian manufacturers that we work closely with and have great relationships with, but we have to make sure that we can supply the demand. And I think we're in a good place now. I mean, you know, it's always an adjustment and something we have to continue to look at and forecast, but I think we're in a good place right now.
Okay. Brandon, could you tell us, going forward, stock-based compensation, that was considerably higher than I had anticipated. Do you have something you can share about the rest of the year?
Well, we still will be using stock to compensate our employees. Historically, we have done restricted stock and option grants. Now we have given our employees the ability to elect up to half of their bonus in stock. And, you know, in the first quarter, we had, you know, some additional expense related to some warrants that we had granted, so that would be a one-time hit in that first quarter. But on a prospective basis, I think modeling that, you know, right around $700,000 to $900,000 on a quarterly basis is reasonable, because the grants are all out there, so now they'll just vest on a quarterly basis. So we shouldn't have any additional significant grants, you know, for another year until we get to the point where people have elected their stock-based compensation when that hits the books.
Okay. And then, Robert, one last question. Can I ask you about, could you comment on, well, You didn't announce anything on the quarter, but new products down the pipeline, for the rest of the year. Anything you could share with us?
John, I would love to. You know, I'm a product guy, and I just am pretty excited and working closely with Randy Hells. I mean, we really have gotten we have a well-oiled machine with our product team. When you consider all of our product people and our engineers, and we have 17 people working closely on a monthly basis, and we're doing products targeted for some of our various retailers, specific to them. We have a whole assortment of products coming down the pipeline. I don't want to get into it and get ahead of it. I mean, for competitive reasons, you know. But I would love to tell you and show you. But the reality is, we need to kind of wait until it gets out there, John.
Well, okay. Thanks. That's it.
Our next question comes from Mike Lattimore with Northland Capital.
Great. Thanks. Hi Robert and Brandon.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
I like the cash flow in the quarter. Very nice.
Thank you.
In terms of the, as some of your retailers expand their shelf space or SKU counts with you, which products do you think will be most impactful, or which products will retailers expand with as you look forward this year? You mentioned Walmart, but I guess outside of Walmart.
So, you know, when you look at the SKU counts and the expansion, across the board, because we have new products coming down the channel, once you have established distribution and retailers that trust you and the consumers trust your brand and know what it represents, then, you know, it's basically just filling that funnel. And with the funnel of new products that we have, we're not just creating something for the most part and saying, what do you think of this? We're actually working with a lot of our retailers, and they're telling us what they need and what they would like, and we're working together to develop these products. And so there's a really collaborative effort for the most part in most of these, you know, retailers. And they feed off each other, because sometimes there's a new product that you launch and some of the retailers are like, well, I can't put it in right now, or I don't want to take a risk on that. And another retailer says, yeah, I'll put it in, and they put it in, and it's successful. And so then the other retailers are like, wow, that's successful. I'd like to take that in as well. And we've seen that adoption with the Zagfolio in a big way, and so that's been exciting to see. And, obviously our sales are increasing significantly, but at the same time, our product mix is being diversified.
I don't know if you can break this out yet, but do you have a sort of tablet-related product as a percent of revenue?
Mike, I think you asked this on the last call, and you know what? We don't break that down, but suffice it to say that we're doing very well in the tablet accessories arena right now. It's really taken off.
How about any update on HTO progress in terms of, do you think you'll have some, a deal or some revenues by year end?
You know, as you know, HCO is a separate company. We own almost 40% of it still and have marketing rights, but, and it has its own management team. But I am very encouraged and excited. There was a board meeting just held this week in New York City, and had partners and board members flying in from around the world. It's a very exciting technology. We just won the Utah Innovations Award. It's neat to see the technology improving. The equipment that enables it to be able to be in a manufacturing setting with an OEM is the key. And so that's where the focus has been and the money's being sent, is to making sure that the lines that can make mass produce the manufacturing for mass market on the OEM devices can be put into the lines. And discussions are continuing on, and, things are very encouraging. There's nothing to report right now, it is developing, though, and it is going forward, and progress is being made.
Great. And then just last question. Brandon, what should we model the interest expense to be quarterly going forward and the tax rate?
Yeah, so the tax rate, Mike, I think we still have the IP transfer that's going to take place, and so that's going to have an impact on us. And so we would still, you know, skew closer to 37-38% for a tax rate. The interest, you know, has been... Yeah, it has been about $1.4 million with the debt that we've paid down. It's going to be closer to around $800,000 on a quarterly basis.
Very great. Thanks. Great results.
Thank you,
Thanks, Mike.
Our next question comes from Daniel Lee with Sun America Asset.
Hi, it's Dan Lee from Sun America. Congratulations, guys. Hello?
Thanks, Dan.
Yeah, nice to see things really starting to hum, like the cash flow and debt pay down, and kudos to Brandon and his team for getting the reporting out earlier this quarter. Most of my questions were answered, but I do have a couple. The number of SKUs that are going to be rolling out with Walmart, and will it just be smartphone or smartphone and tablet?
Initially, it will just be the smartphone, Dan. I stated briefly in my comments when I introduced and made the announcement in my prepared comments about Walmart that it's just one SKU and rolling forward from there. You know, that's very typical. That's typical of most of all the retailers that we've gone into, and that's how that happens. And so they're very excited about it. We finally agreed to it, and we were able to move ahead, and we have a great relationship now. And the fact that we, through iFrogs, have already been selling, fantastic through Zag Audio and cases with the iFrogs brands, there's a good relationship there, and I think it'll be a great account.
Okay. Second question I have is ZagSafe, which I guess you reintroduced yesterday. What are plans to market it? Will this go to broader distribution, say, to retail channels? Can you discuss that?
Yeah, initially we're going to have it just as an online offering, Dan. We get a lot of traffic come to our website. We view this as the ultimate device protection. So now we're able to really cover people's gadgets where they haven't been able to get that coverage before. So it's going to roll out for the time being as an online offering only.
Okay. Third question I have, do you have any opportunities to refi the term debt here or the credit line?
And that's definitely a possibility. We do have some prepayment penalties if we do that before June 21st. After that, we still have penalties, but it comes down. So it's definitely an option that we're looking at, the opportunity to maybe refinance that debt. We don't need to. The term loan is good until 2016. We don't anticipate having to make any additional payments on that currently. So, you know, well, it is expensive debt that we have. So we'll look at it and see what works best.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
Our next question comes from Matt Stratford with Sidoti & Company.
Oh, I'm good. Sorry.
Thanks, Matt.
Our next question comes from Daniel Pike, who is a private investor.
Hey, guys. Great job on the quarter.
Thank you, Dan.
Just one quick question on Walmart, and then an accounting, couple accounting questions. You said Walmart was a national rollout. Anything for international with this initial SKU, or plans for that?
Yeah, as of right now, it's just national. Obviously, Walmart has presence internationally, and as our relationship develops, and as we increase our product categories and so forth, then obviously there's a lot of potential there. But this is just a national rollout.
Okay. Is iFrogs or any iFrogs SKUs sold internationally yet, or is it still just national?
Actually, good question. It's just national right now. So okay. Opportunity on that side also.
Great. And then, Brandon, just for accounting, what I'm trying to get and focus on is just a true after-tax cash EPS number, and a lot of things going on with the iFrogs acquisition, and I want to make sure I understand it all. So the amortization is $2.5 million for the quarter of non-cash goodwill that's being amortized?
Yeah, $2.4.
Okay. And then to tax effect that, what do you think normalized? I'm not talking about this quarter or next quarter. What's the objective of sort of a normalized tax rate for us going forward? Is it 35? Is it 33? What's supposed to be the objective?
Well, I mean, we've got some aggressive objectives. We would think that with the work that we're doing with our current tax strategy of, you know, positioning our IP offshore, we would hope to get our tax rate to the low 30s, potentially even to the upper 20s. But I think, you know, over the next few quarters, I think if we could get it down to the, you know, low to mid 30s, that would be great.
Okay, so it's $2.4 million per quarter of non-cash that's being charged against the income statement and called a low 30s tax rate. For the compensation expense in the quarter, unfortunately, I deleted the email that came out. Was it $1.3 million of non-cash comp expense?
Correct.
Okay, and what would you say, I misheard the last questioner, what would you say a normalized per quarter comp expense is supposed to be?
Yeah, it's around, you know, $800,000 to $900,000. I think it would be a good ballpark number.
Okay. So, and that's for all four quarters are going to be like that.
Correct.
Okay. And then the last is the interest expense was 1.4 going to, after this pay down and any sort of adjustments, what do you think a normalized interest expense is for a quarter?
Yeah, it's going to be $700,000 to $800,000, Dan, assuming
okay.
No additional payment.
Okay. And going forward, are you going to be just going to break it out like this, or are you just going to report a GAAP EPS, or are you going to start reporting a cash EPS number?
We hadn't thought about that. I mean, obviously, we're open for those types of discussions, and so we'll look at it. And if we feel like it makes sense for the investing public, then that could be something that we would look at.
Obviously, you see what I'm getting at. I mean, the difference between your reported EPS and what your true earnings power is 6 or 7 or 8 cents just in this quarter alone. So that's why I bring it up and want to make sure my numbers are right. And otherwise, great job. More SKUs, more doors, and great products. So congratulations.
Great. Thanks, Dan.
All right. Thanks,
Dan.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
I'm not showing any other questions at this time. I would now like to turn the conference back over to Robert Peterson for closing comments.
Thank you, operator, and thank you, everyone who's been on the call. The first quarter has been a great success for Zag, as we executed so well on our business strategy with an improved operational alignment that rewards our employees for hitting their goals and produces meaningful results in the top and bottom line. I'd just like to thank everyone for their hard work this quarter, all Zag employees, associates, our partners, everyone we work with. I express my gratitude to have such a great team. Thank you again for participating in today's call and for your interest in Zag. We appreciate your support and look forward to speaking with you again in our next quarterly call. Have a great day. Go Zag.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's presentation. You may now disconnect and have a wonderful day.